I'm Sunny St. Leonard's on the south coast of the UK. This is the Keto Woman Podcast, brought to you by me, Daisy Brackenhall. Hello, keto lovelies, and welcome to episode number 219, where I'm joined by my good friend, Terry Lance, for another Mindset Matters episode. Now, this is going out on New Year's Eve, so I might just have caught you before the end of the year. But if not, I'd just like to take this moment to wish you a very happy new year. And I hope that 2022 turns out to be a fantastic year for you. Now, I've never been someone who's been really into New Year's resolutions. Yes, it's something I've played around with some years, but invariably I've got to the end of the year and not done whatever it was I set out to do. So I actually gave up on them quite a long time ago and figured it was best really just to try and make changes in the moment rather than make those big, grand, sweeping gestures that New Year's resolutions tend to be. But having said that, when you get to the end of the year and you're starting a new one, there is that feeling of a fresh new start or some kind of reset or a moment to reflect a bit on what's behind you and think about what's going to be happening in the new year. And so I thought I'd ask Terry for some ideas about how best to think about that, some ideas maybe about how to rework or reframe New Year's resolutions to make them work for us rather than against us, which so often seems to be the case. And she, of course, has some great ideas and some tips and some thoughts on that. We recorded a similar episode over on Monday Mindset. So if you want to listen to a bit more around the subject, do go and check that episode out as well. Before we have a very quick roundup of what's been going on with me this week, there isn't very much to report. I would just like to say a very big thank you to Bevan, who is my latest patron. She decided to sign up to Daisy's Lovelies, and so it was wonderful to welcome her into that group. So this show, the last show of the year, has you as the headliner, Bevan. Thank you very, very much. And thank you to all of you who have chosen to support me this year in whatever way works for you. I'm sure you know by now how much time, effort, and money it takes to keep this podcast and Monday Mindset going. So it's thanks to you that I'm able to do that. And thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing. Without you, there would be no show. If you want to help out with a monthly subscription, you can do so by going to patreon.com/ketowoman, or you can find the link in the description and you will get to headline the show just like Bevan did today. Very quick roundup, not much to report. Life carries on really much as normal for me. I did have a very nice family Christmas day on Monday when I went over to my mum's place in Worthing. My brother and his family came down, my sister and her family came down, and we had a lovely day together. Very delicious Christmas Day dinner. Mum, as always, knocked it out the park. So it was a really fun day. Christmas really is all about the children, isn't it? And they seem to have a really, really good time. It's quite a contrast to my normal day-to-day life and quite overwhelming with all the noise and people, but very enjoyable. And the dogs seem to have quite a good day too. We've all got dogs, so there were lots of dogs as well as children running around. I think we have 7 in total. Fortunately, they all get along pretty well. The weather has been pretty miserable overall, and the sea has been a little bit choppy, and we're at that sort of mid to high tide level, which means I haven't been able to go in every day. I've sat it out a couple of mornings so far this week. But I still head down there and I get to drink my coffee with a fantastic view of the crashing waves. I haven't completely decided on this yet, but I think I'm going to spend January sharing with you some ideas that I've had swirling around my head and on paper for a long time now, many years. I've been thinking of doing some kind of online program and have just never really gotten around to it for many reasons. If you know me, you'll know that I struggle a bit with my self-confidence and my self-worth. So attaching a price tag to some of the advice and thoughts that I have often proves very difficult for me. So I've ended up going down different avenues that are mostly supporting other people with doing the editing work and things like that that I've decided to do. And to be honest, overall, that's a better fit for me. But it does seem a shame not to share some of those thoughts and some of that information. So my plan is to spend January sharing those ideas with you. So my take on the best way to start keto. I think I'm going to try and keep the episodes reasonably short along the lines of the new format episodes I've been doing. So I don't know, maybe 20 minutes, half an hour. You can never tell with me, you know what I'm like, I do tend to ramble on a bit. So we'll see how it goes. And then I thought we could round that off with another Mindset Matters episode with Terry, with some ideas about mindset and behavior, which will be along the same lines of starting out and how to then sustain those new habits that you've managed to put in place. Or maybe if you're struggling a bit to put them in place, we'll maybe talk around some ideas and tips that she might have for that. There's also a guest I'm going to have on who I met through Dan Grief, who set up his own support group and has been supporting a small group of people over the year. So I'm really interested to hear from him about his experience of that, what they learned about the process, I guess, of the whole process of setting up a support group, and maybe get some ideas for that. I thought that would link in very well with my ideas on starting keto, because of course, finding a supportive community is really key to your success. So those are some ideas for what's coming up in the new year. I hope that sounds interesting. If there are other things you would like to hear me talking about, or some guests that you've always wanted me to talk to or to hear from on this show, please feel free to get in touch. You can get a hold of me on one of the social media platforms, or you can email me at daisy@ketowomanpodcast.com. I always love to hear from you. So having said it was going to be a quick roundup, I of course have been rambling on a bit. So let's jump in to this Mindset Matters episode with Terry, and all about rethinking New Year's resolutions. Welcome back, Terry, to the Keto Woman podcast for another Mindset Matters episode. How are you doing today?
I'm good. Thanks for having me back.
Well, we are here recording actually just before Christmas Eve, but this episode is going to be going out on New Year's Eve. Yes, exactly. So just imagine, go forward in time. We are right at the end of 2021, heading into 2022 tomorrow morning. And what happens when we start the new year? So many of us make those big, sweeping, grand gesture New Year's resolutions. So I thought, who better to talk to with about that than my good friend Terry Lance, to put us straight on a few things. And or maybe give us some better suggestions of what might be a bit more helpful when it comes to that reflecting and thinking about the year ahead. Because I know I've certainly tripped myself up with that exact thing. Grand sweeping statements, usually quite airy-fairy. This will be the year that. And it turns out not to be. So what can we do instead?
I think, you know, even just that reference is really an important one. I think a lot of us put put all of our eggs in one basket, so to speak, like this is the year that's going to be life changing. That's a lot of pressure to put on yourselves and the year. And I think over the past 2 years, this has been particularly problematic. Going into 2020, no one would have predicted how life-changing 2020 would be, and not because they were reaching all their goals. And then I think people tried to kind of salvage it and think that for 2021, like it's got to get better. It's going to change everything. And we're dealing with the realities of where we are with everything right now. So I think more putting your thoughts into there is the rebirth, the newness of a new year. And it's, I hope for most people, it's a rebirth in mindset and focus rather than this is the year to do everything, accomplish everything, be everything, versus this is a time to reflect and restart, reboot on the right foot of how I want to move forward.
Yeah, it's a good opportunity, isn't it? Mm-hmm. To sort of dust yourself off, shake up, hit that reset button a little bit. And I like what you said there, just a bit of a reset, a refresh with mindset just gives you an inkling of the kind of the way to go here rather than these, you know, big dramatic goals. Or even quite small dramatic goals. Mm-hmm. I have this, you know, fairly small goal that I set myself, or I have done for the past couple of years. This will be the year that I manage to do proper full-on press-ups. You know, that's not a massive thing. That's not actually that difficult to achieve. Have I done it? 2 years. No.
But also, I think this is a great example. If you make your goal something so specific that, for example, right now I'm unable to do, and my goal is this is the year I will suddenly be able to do, in our mind, we play all kinds of games. Well, I can start in June. Oh, well, I've still got 2 months. And then it comes down to this last week in December, and it's like, oh, crap, I still can't do those. Let's see, how can I make it happen now? And then, of course, we feel frustrated and, you know, maybe down on ourselves. But instead, maybe to look at it this year, not this is the year, but this year, my focus is developing my press-ups. So it's something you can do incrementally all the way, and you don't have to judge yourself or evaluate success or fail. It's more that you're focusing on the process, the steps, the behavior, the habit, versus I'm going to do it 100%. Because oftentimes, for many of us, that leads us not to even tackle it. So the focus on the process, the habits you want to be developing. So this is a year I'm going to continue developing my press-up ability.
And I also think there's something in what you reflect upon. So instead of reflecting upon the however long the list is of New Year's resolutions you had that you haven't fulfilled, you haven't done, it's what started getting me thinking about it when you talked about how very different the world is compared to how, you know, we anticipated it being. We were thinking about one thing. We were thinking about our New Year's resolutions, our plans, and the world completely changed. And that just goes to show you, one, how things can change dramatically, completely outside your own personal sphere. There's something that you have absolutely no control of. And most probably, your life has been affected by that and you've made some changes. You know, they might be positive, they might be negative, whatever it is. But the other thing is to reflect on the things, I guess, the accidental things that came along or the achievements that you had that weren't anticipated. Because it's very unlikely that you can look back on your year and there aren't some positives. There aren't some things that you are doing now that you weren't expecting to do. You know, I wasn't expecting to go down and get in the sea every morning, but I do that. I wasn't expecting to be an early morning person, but I am. You know, there are plenty of things that if you'd have told me 3 years ago I'd be doing and not struggling to do, I'd have laughed in your face. So I think there's, you know, there's something there about what you choose to reflect on, where your focus is.
Absolutely. And you probably already know this. I think of most of our approach to things in that way, that every situation, every event, every experience can be viewed from different perspectives. I can look at an experience for all of the annoyances, the frustrations, the sadness, anything that it evoked. Or I can look at it, how did I grow from it? What were the bright moments? What strengths did it give me? And I know this sounds a little bit like the Pollyanna, just looking at the positive side, but we really do get to choose how we reflect on that experience. And so if you look at 2021 as a crappy year because you didn't do this and this and this, you're not looking at, how did I grow this year? What new things did I bring into my life? What things did I let go of that I needed to let go of? And so just shifting your mindset, you've already made 2021 look a lot better and feel a lot better than if you stayed focused on, well, I didn't do this year. Mm. Still can't do those press-ups this year.
And it's still not too late to reflect in that way.
Yeah.
It's still not late to look at, and we are on Keto Women now, so we can talk as much as we like about diet things. We always try to not always focus on that perspective when we've got our Monday mindset hats on. But, you know, taking a very typical thing, this is the year that I was really going to keto strictly, or I was going to do it this way or that way. And yeah, boy, did I ever mess up. That's all gone out the window. Well, 2022 is going to be the year. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's no real easy way to Pollyanna that, but there's nothing to stop you looking at it and, yeah, seeing there was not really any positive growth out of that. I can't take that spin on it. However, what you can do is reflect on it and sort of take a step back from it and say, okay, well, yeah, things went wrong in that context, but how did they go wrong? So what can I take from that experience to do differently next year? So let's reflect on that in a kind of an analytical way. What are the things that happened? What are the things that led up to it going wrong? So what kind of strategies can I come up with? What kind of different directions can I take this year to help things go a bit better? Mm-hmm. So you can still take that growth perspective from it, can't you? And that learning perspective from it. It's not too late.
Absolutely. Something that you said in there also reminded me of a suggestion I always have about kind of heading into the new year and mindset. And that is, it actually, you and I talked about this in Monday Mindset, in talking about something James Clear shared about habit change and building habits. And he talked about choosing habits to build that are congruent with the identity you have or want to have. And so I think with your listeners, if, you know, pretty sure they're listening because they want to eat ketogenically, they have found success with it, want to stay on that course, or maybe they're new to it, or maybe they're struggling with it. But to then focus on, how can I make that more a part of my identity this year? So rather than, I'll do keto 100%, or I will lose 15 pounds doing keto, versus making keto more and more part of how I navigate things. So when I go to a restaurant, I know what part of the menu to look at. It's not a decision.
Yes, that goes back to what you were saying about working towards something, working on the steps rather than, because it could be, yeah, how can I make better choices from the menu in my favorite restaurant? Mm-hmm. It might not be that I'm having a quote unquote perfect keto meal, but focusing on the steps. Mm-hmm. What are the better choices on that menu that are still something tasty, still make it a enjoyable, fulfilling experience, but are working towards that becoming part of my identity? And so naturally will be the choices that I make, because that's what you're working towards, isn't it? And it's not really having to think about it. That's the thing with habit change. If you don't have to think about it, if it's something you naturally just do, it's not hard anymore, is it?
Yep. It's so funny you say that. I was making some social media memes last night and I came across one about habits, and it didn't fit what we were talking about or what we needed memes for, but I really liked it. And it was that idea that that is why our brain creates habits. It is actually to free up brain space, make things easier, so that your brain has more availability for novel things, complex tasks. And so, again, thinking about eating ketogenically or low carb, whatever it looks like for you, making that easier because it's how you naturally approach it. It's how you naturally think of yourself. Then those incidents where there's other food available, you don't have much decision making to do because you eat ketogenically. Someone brings around the dessert tray for the third time. It's not a big decision for you unless they're serving keto desserts, because you've got it so well developed in your mind that this is the habit. This is what you do. It's not a restriction. It's not a punishment. This is how things go. So I think about your listeners, and I would really encourage that as a part of their way of reflecting on looking into this coming year and what they want to develop within themselves, to make this habit of freeing myself from having to make all of those novel choices and complex things around eating, and set my identity. I eat ketogenically, I eat low carb, and it actually is pretty liberating when you can really develop that.
Yes, because there's probably always an example you can think about. I mean, not since I was a very, very young child, but I've always really disliked fruit. Like, really disliked it to the point just even thinking about certain fruits makes me gag. And so that, because it just made me think of it when you said, you know, when the dessert trolley's coming round. Well, for me, I would straight away rule out all of the ones I do actually tolerate certain berries and things now, but basically assume, you know, every single anything that even looks like fruit on that trolley is an automatic no for me. They're taken off the contents menu for choice from me. And so, you know, say there are 10 desserts on there, 7 of them have got fruit on them of some kind. Well, I now have a choice of 3. Well, it's the same thing, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And that's an automatic thing to me. And that's been based on, you know, something that I really don't like to eat. So it was an easy habit to form. But it's the same principle, and it's the same practice thing that has just become automatic. And actually taking that a step further, because I think this is something that people struggle with, are other people's reactions and potentially the pressure from other people. But this is something that's so well ingrained in anyone that knows me, you know, that they could look at that dessert trolley and say, well, yeah, there are only 3 things that she can have or that she's going to want to have, because everybody knows that's the way I eat. Everybody knows not to serve me with a fruit-laden dessert. If that's what they're having, you know, they're either apologetic, there's nothing for me, or more likely they've provided me with an alternative. Yeah, you can see where I'm going here, can't you? But it's such a part of who I am. It's an absolute black and white thing. There's no deviating from it. But everybody else knows it as well as me.
And my guess is, if I were listening to this right now, and I'm struggling, let's say, I might find the argument against that. And so I think it's worth addressing. Mm. Someone might say, yes, but Daisy, you don't like fruit. So that was an easy habit for you to create because...
Yes, very true.
Let's say fruit was your favorite thing and you said, okay, I'm no longer going to eat the fruit. Then mm-hmm. I would get it. So let's say, for example, I love desserts or I love snack foods, but eating for my health means I don't eat those or certain ones. Then it's applying what you just described, but switching out the thing I'm letting go of or not choosing anymore is actually something I do like. And I think this does make it a little more challenging, but I think...
Oh, much more, yeah.
Your approach to it is what's really important. You have to make that thing no longer part of how you see yourself. So, for example, if I say I'm a chocoholic, I have to eat chocolate all the time. Wherever there's chocolate, I'm going to eat it. That's going to be hard to maintain that identity and identify myself as someone who eats ketogenically for reversing my diabetes or losing a significant amount of weight. I can't really hold those two identities together very easily. So I need to switch out that identity. I need to let go of it, lessen it. You know, maybe I'm someone who now eats chocolate once a month or once a quarter. And so getting out of the habit of seeing ourselves as someone who snacks, someone who eats dessert every day, whatever it is that interferes for us in our approach, and building on that concept that you were talking about, you automatically decrease the number of decisions you need to make about it because you took some options out and made engaging in that activity more congruent with your identity. And that's what I think all of us would benefit from working on around how we eat. And as you said, one of the challenges many people talk about is, I can control what's in my house. I can choose what I order. It's when other people bring me things or serve me things at their home or at an event. And I think your point is really important. But if I don't eat fruit, if they're serving fruit, I don't have to eat it. But if I'm not clear in my identity around that, I'm probably going to feel pressured to eat whatever they're serving.
Yes, I think there's that pressure coming from the outside, but there's that other thing with how you present it to other people. Because unless they're just being particularly stubborn about it, mm-hmm. you can get other people on side who will help when maybe you're struggling with temptation mm-hmm. or you're struggling a bit with that pressure. The stronger a case, if you like, as you present to them, the more I think they're likely to support it. But if you're a bit wishy-washy with it, or if you present it as that kind of, oh, this is just another diet, and oh, I feel so guilty for that because I'm cheating on my keto diet, or oh, don't tempt me, but go on then, you know. People can feel that indecision. They can mm-hmm. feel the lack of commitment. And we've talked about this before in learning from and borrowing from other people who have taken it on as part of their identity. You know, you must know somebody who's, you probably know somebody who's a vegan. Well, you're not going to keep trying to tempt them with a bacon sandwich, are you? Mm-hmm. Unless, quite frankly, you're a bit of an asshole. You're not going to say, oh, go on, oh, this bacon's lovely, lovely. Because mm-hmm. they're not, you know, maybe there's a part of them that is a bit tempted, but they're, no, that's just not what I eat. But you, as the other in this equation, are not going to try and force it on them. Mm-hmm. If you've got a friend who's an alcoholic, they're probably going to be different. There are going to be different boundaries, different rules, depending on that person, depending what they can cope with. But at the very least, you're not going to try and force a glass of wine on them, are you? Mm-hmm. You know, you might go to the extent of having them round for dinner and there's just no wine on the table. It depends. You know, there are always these different rules. But again, that's going from the rules and the boundaries that they've set, and you as a friend or a family member help them uphold it. Mm-hmm. But most of that comes from them. Yep. How they've presented it to you. You know, I really need your help with this. This is something mm-hmm. that's very important to me. It's something that's going to change my health and my happiness and my well-being. Mm-hmm. I need your support. It can be very difficult to then try and, you know, trip them up, isn't it?
Absolutely. You also made me think of something else. I was listening to a guided meditation this morning and on a totally different topic, but one of the things he was talking about is the idea of self-leadership and focusing on our own abilities to make decisions, that we choose what we do and what we don't do, that we create our lives, our reality, everything like that. And in these situations, it's not because someone else was offering you something. You are your own boss. You are your own leader. You can politely decline it. If someone keeps pushing, you can set a firmer boundary. But it's that idea of you have to be, know you and be congruent with you. And then it doesn't matter what the environment is. I was at a social gathering last week and I had already eaten my meals for the day. And they had two of my favorite foods. They had pizza and they had carrot cake. And neither one of those fit who I am at this point of how I eat and what I wanted for myself that night. It was still tempting, of course, but I am my self-leader. I get to make those decisions for myself. I did not have to sit down and join them for that. I could navigate around it. Mm-hmm. And so I hope that people can really also take this year as, if this is important to me, I get to make my decisions about it. I don't have to betray my own values around this to accommodate for other people. Mm. And that also means I can't blame it on other people either.
No, exactly. Yes. And I think people do, they pick up on that resolve. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it absolutely does have to start with you. Mm-hmm. Now, something that we spoke about on our end of year Monday mindset episode, that was a concept that I really, really liked and wanted to share with our listeners here. And this was an alternative you discussed to New Year's resolutions, or I guess the format.
The idea was shared with me maybe even a couple of years ago, and I haven't really thought that much about it, but I keep watching people do it. And I really like this, that instead of choosing, I'm going to do this, or I'm not going to do this, or I'm going to lose 40 pounds, or I'm going to change my whole life, instead they pick a theme, a word that represents something they want, a way they want to experience their life this year. So for example, one of my friends announced at the beginning of a year, her word for the year was balance. And so it's kind of like a centering point, a place to tether yourself to. If my goal this year is to have more balance in my life, is this decision helping me with balance or taking me further away from balance? How can I look at this event or decision or experience in light of my goal of experiencing more balance? I might need to say no to certain things because they take me out of balance. I might need to take the risk to say yes to some things to keep my life in balance. But again, rather than I will do this many things, or I will do this in this way or not do this, a theme, a concept that you want to experience or see yourself as embodying. I think I may have said this to you. I know one person that said, this is the year of yes. Mm. I'm going to say yes to more things. And I think you or someone else pointed out, and some of us may need to take this a year of giving ourselves permission to say no. Mm. Rather than taking on 40,000 tasks, we take on 6 and we say no to the rest. What concept or word and the concept surrounding it do you want to experience in your life this year?
Yes, I really like that because it also ties neatly back into the whole identity theme, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And it helps structure the decision, some of the decisions you're going to be making.
Mm-hmm.
I like it a lot.
But not in a pass-fail or punitive way.
I like the way it ties into identity because it's thinking about the kind of person you want to be.
Yeah.
You're kind of going to have to think a little bit along those lines to be coming up with a word or a theme, because why else would you choose it?
Mm-hmm.
And then how the influence it's going to have on decisions you make, it's going to naturally then be a sort of self-fulfilling thing. It's going to naturally work its way into your identity.
Mm-hmm.
So the chances are you're going to get to the end of the year to reflect back on the word or the theme you've chosen and see all the little steps you've taken, all the little mm-hmm. choices you've made that have just helped build that to a point where it's most likely just, you know, part of your being at that point.
Absolutely.
To whatever extent, you know, it might be to the extent of this is going to indicate a different kind of thing that I want to choose as my theme next year because mm-hmm. it didn't work this way, the way I expected it to, or whatever, you know. I just like the open, curious, creative kind of aspect to it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Well, that's certainly given me a lot to think about, and I haven't quite decided on my word or theme, but yes, probably along those lines that you mentioned about balance. That's something that I struggle with quite often, with those sort of extremes in thinking and all sorts of things. So finding a balance, finding something that's just not too extreme and leaves me feeling more balanced and calm. So like I say, I haven't quite decided yet, but it's a very interesting thing to be thinking about. And no doubt by the time we get to New Year's Eve, I will have thought of something. So we are at that point, which I know sometimes you dread, but you remembered this time before we started recording. So what is your top tip, your end of year top tip?
My top tip today is about kind of reframing how we look at our goals for the new year, as you and I have been talking about it, rather than how will I fix my life or how will I fix myself, because that comes from a model of kind of like you're broken or things are bad and you have to turn it all around, versus what do I want more of? How do I want to experience? What do I want to experience this year? And focus on the habits, the patterns, the decisions that help you with that. So much less rigidly must do this and much more, I want to feel this, experience this. And so to be looking at how you're going to enrich your experience this year rather than fix everything, turn things around, you know, 360. How are you going to enrich your life this year?
Perfect. Yes, it was one little note I had on my sheet here to talk about that we didn't get onto, but that just caught my eye that ties in with that. And that's something that we talked about on Monday Mindset 1 week, the notion of just being happier rather mm-hmm. than striving to be happy is happier. So that's the same kind of thing, isn't it? Just focusing on that enrichment, that improvement.
Absolutely.
Rather than the goal at the end is just the steps toward it.
Absolutely.
Okay, well, thank you very much for sharing another year with me, both on Keto Women and Monday Mindset. I hope that you and everyone at home has a very wonderful start to the new year. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you too, Daisy, and all your listeners. And I look forward to coming back and continuing to talk about mindset throughout this year.
Yes, we look forward to having you. Thank you very much, Terry.
You bet.
Thank you for staying with me right to the end. I hope that's given you some things to think about. What have I come up with as my word or theme? Well, as I mentioned, I was thinking along the lines of balance. And that is pretty well where I've ended up. I think just that overall feeling of trying to find balance. I do have a tendency, as I mentioned, to be a little extreme in my thinking sometimes, certainly about myself, sometime about others. So I'd like to find a much more balanced and I guess maybe harmonious way of looking at myself and my life. I'd like to find a better balance with my work life and relaxation. A lot of these things, I've already taken some steps to start working towards it. So really, it's just sort of continuing with that and building on the things that I've learned already. What about you? What thoughts have you got about a word or a theme that you might head into 2022 with? Before we wrap up for today and for the year, I'm going to leave you with this week's end quote. And this is from one of my favorites, Gretchen Rubin. And it was the quote that Terry was talking about in this episode. When possible, the brain makes a behavior into a habit, which saves effort and therefore gives us more capacity to deal with complex, novel, or urgent matters. So I like that. Another way of thinking about the importance of setting up and building some of these new habits to free up some brain space for more important things. Thank you for sharing your time with me today. Thank you for sharing some of your year. Thank you for your ongoing support. It really does mean the world to me. I want to wish you a very, very happy new year. So until next week, next year, please take very, very good care. And I'll see you soon. Bye-bye, keto lovelies.